May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you, Kate, for inviting me to speak today. It's such a privilege and honor to stand here for this very special service in this very special place. And I thank everyone here for opening their hearts and minds to what I have to offer tonight. The first thing you need to know is that I'm actually not going to preach today, or that's actually not my intent. That's because, honestly, I am not qualified to preach really on any topic, and certainly not on environmental stewardship or creation care. However, I do feel comfortable speaking to you today as a witness, as someone who has considered for many years now what my role is as an individual, as a community leader, as a member of this church, and perhaps most importantly, as a person of faith in caring for God's creation. And now, as climate change has progressed from an issue of concern to a global crisis, I feel that much more compelled to do something, however small, as a witness for the earth. So again, I thank you all for this opportunity. So let's get started. I have to credit my son Eric with recognizing that I absolutely must start with a joke. And it has to be a light bulb joke. And thankfully, he also provided it for me. So here we go. How many environmentalists does it take to change a light bulb? It's actually a trick question. Environmentalists can't change anything. So on that note, I hope to convince at least a few of you of two things. One, that all of us here today actually are environmentalists, and God needs us to see ourselves that way. And number two, that together, if we have the will, we can actually change light bulbs and much, much more. We are so fortunate to have this Celtic service today that offers us so many different ways of experiencing the fullness of what God has created for us. We have readings that take us back to the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 1, the marvelous story of creation. We have special music and guest musicians who offer us new sounds and new rhythms from a rich tradition known for its love of the natural world. As we said the psalm back and forth with Ian, we prayed to God for overflowing abundance in every aspect of life and asked that the meadows and valleys shout for joy and sing. Later, we'll say new words for the creed, prayers of the people, and the confession and the Lord's Prayer. Words that evoke new images of God as both male and female, as earth maker, pain bearer, life giver. As we move through the service and embrace these new rhythms, we allow the music and poetry to blanket us and remind us how much we love creation. We are inspired by the new. We are refreshed by the Spirit we know is always present with us. But I believe there's more. Flowing through that music and those images, God is calling to us. In fact, God has been calling to us for a long time. But sometimes it's harder to hear because the words are too familiar, and we, adults especially, have become very attached to the rote, the familiar. This service gives God a new voice to call to us, and it gives us a wonderful chance to respond in new ways, if we are willing. So I believe God is calling us each to be environmentalists. Being an environmentalist means combining that love we all have for the natural world with a commitment that includes sometimes making sacrifices to defend and prioritize creation's well-being above other things in our lives. So are you willing? Are you willing to be an environmentalist? I hope so. Because honestly, God needs as many of us as she can get. God is calling us because God needs us. After all, all, we've been given this amazing gift. It's our home. God wants to hear from us about how we plan to care for it, especially now when we have taken more from it than we can easily return. It's an overwhelming task, this urgent call to respond and respond now. How can we not be overwhelmed? We work hard to live responsibly, to try and lead balanced lives and model that balance for our children and others. And we do our best to respond thoughtfully to all that comes before us in a given week, at work, school, church, in our town, our state, our country, the world. And yet the further we go in trying to engage and embrace the wider world, the more overwhelmed we become. And when it comes to the issue of climate change and the implications for the future of our planet, humanity, the less privileged global citizens who are already suffering and who will suffer more, we are not just overwhelmed, we're beginning to despair. But our gospel reading for today tells us that those feelings are simply not an option. In Matthew's gospel that Andrew read, we are told in short to not be anxious about worldly things. God knows what we need and will provide it, just as he feeds the birds of the air and clothes the grass of the field. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're told. Now let's be careful. This passage is not saying, don't be anxious because God will take care of everything. No. It's saying that there is no need to spend our time and energy questioning and worrying about whether we have enough. We have everything we need. We should turn our sights to the kingdom of God. I would add that not only is there no need to be anxious, but there's no time to be anxious. God needs us now. So, here we are at the precipice of my sermon, as it were. God is calling to us. How are we to respond? What does it mean to actively seek a path to care for creation? What can we, as people of faith, do to combat climate change, to help make our communities more resilient, to prepare a response to the inevitable suffering that we in the developed world have brought to those most vulnerable? I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint some of you who were kind of hoping to get an updated list of 1,000 things every good environmentalist should do. That would be too easy. Changing a light bulb isn't the point. Recycling, reusing, buying local, organic, fair trade, lowering your carbon footprint, divesting of your investments in fossil fuel, composting, using low-flow showerheads, riding your bike to church, and the myriad of other important actions any of us can and should take is really not the point. As individuals, as people of faith, and now as environmentalists, the actions we take, the decisions we make with respect to the environment, we take those actions and make those decisions because we believe them to be moral and right. And yes, we believe them to be what Jesus would do. But they are personal and individual, and between each of us and God. So as members of a community of faith, not stewards of a building, not friends and colleagues, not teachers and students, or vestry members, or choir members, or ministry leaders, but simply as professed members of a Christian community, I believe we must answer the call differently from how and why we do it as individuals. So how do we answer God's call? What do? Keep asking that question. Well, the answer I have will come as no surprise to many of you who have known me for a while. As I explained to those in the mission committee last week, I can't really help myself. I see the world as one giant web of connection. People, ideas, actions, prayer. One leads to the next, and then the next, and the next. And if we can each look up and outside of ourselves, we will see many opportunities to join together. And we will find over and over and over again how powerful this thing called community is. So, while anxiety in all its forms keeps us focused inward, seeking comfort from the familiar, caring about something, really caring, passionately, insists that we actively seek. And this takes us outside of ourselves engages us and connects us to others who share those passions and concerns. So our response to God, our responsibility to God, is to connect with one another on this issue, to actively create those connections, maintain them, nurture them, support them. God has shown me time and time again the power of community. Together, we here at Redeemer and in Lexington and the region have joined together at those times when we have heard God's call to house refugees, to feed the hungry, to turn our backs on religious intolerance or intolerance of any kind, to save a farm. We have rung our bell. We have joined hands. We have lit candles. We've signed petitions. We've marched, and we've spoken up. The kind of change we can affect as a community of faith, as environmentalists who are willing to stand together and work together for God's creation, that kind of change needs to be as great as we can make it. God needs that change to be of a magnitude greater than the collective love we feel for one another, for our home, and for all of creation. So yes, I do believe that the kingdom of God we seek is community. Not the kind of community that is necessarily familiar or easy. God is calling us to be in community in new ways, unfamiliar ways, to stand up and be heard when we're not used to standing up or being heard. To take risks, to be willing to fall, because we will fall. But we'll know that another will be there to catch us, and we will be there to catch others. And all of this will strengthen those bonds that tie us together in community. This new kind of community is one where you don't wait for someone to invite you or tell you what to do. You initiate, you ask questions, you help make the connections with others. It's active, seeking, sacrificing, helping, connecting, growing, encouraging, listening, discerning, and then doing it all over again with the next person. Here in Lexington and neighboring towns, we could not be more fortunate for the resources and knowledge available to us. People who have made it their life's work to understand our physical and natural world. Community leaders who volunteer their time to organize events and raise awareness. Elected officials in local and state government who are committed and responsive to better public policy and laws that work within a larger, complex political and economic system. Thanks to so many people doing so much work, there are many opportunities to seek and learn and connect, as any good environmentalist could want. So that's the list to make. 1,000 new things we can learn from others about our natural world and climate change. I can help you get started. First, everyone should grab a friend and watch the new documentary of Ants and Men that just came out about the extraordinary life and work of biologist Edward O. Wilson, who of course lives right here in Lexington. You can stream it on pbs.org, you can get the DVD. You have to see this. It is not only inspiring and educational, it is astounding how much we can learn about humanity and our need for community by studying ants. Now, there's also two other events, a movie and a talk, on two subsequent Saturday nights, October 17th and October 24th. I have flyers. And these are events sponsored by, co-sponsored actually, by the Lexington Global Warming Action Coalition and the Carrie Lecture Series. And I can tell you more about them afterwards. But my hope is that many of you will come to the Great Hall celebration on the 24th, especially from 5 to 7. And then together we can head over to Clark Middle School to hear Naomi Oreskes talk about the dynamics of disbelief as part of the Carrie Lecture Series. So, talk to me afterwards. We can do this. But whatever you decide to do, whatever connections you decide to make, as you move beyond this service and into the world as a newly ordained environmentalist, keep this in mind. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. That is why we need to hold fast to our faith. If we do this right, we'll be entering unfamiliar and uncertain territory. That's why we need to hold to our faith. My prayer for all of us as we seek this kingdom of God, this new community, is that we respond in kind to God's call to care for God's creation, that we joyfully forge forward through the weeds of uncertainty, connected to one another by faith and understanding. God is calling to us. Creation needs us now, and we have everything we need to respond.